a Monday morning, and my dreams were interrupted at some unearthly hour by the doorbell ringing with a shrill urgency that implied death, tragedy, or a sudden, unexpected inheritance. It was none of those things. Not yet, anyway. It was Terry. It was only 7 o'clock, and it seemed likely, therefore, that rather than being up early, she hadn't actually been to bed at all. Small and thin, Terry was dressed, as usual, in the manner of a deranged Victorian governess. She had the pale pallor of a three-day-old corpse on her cheek and, despite the dark on the unlit stair, was wearing Wayfarer Ray-Bans. Although I had opened the door, Terry's finger remained on the doorbell as if she had been struck by rigor mortis while pressing it. I forcibly removed the finger, almost having to break it in the process. She held out a hand, palm up, and said, "Give me your George Eliot essay." Her face as expressionless as an assassin's. "Or what? Die?" "Bugger off," she said succinctly and lit up a cigarette in the manner of a film noir villainess. I shut the door on her and went back to bed, and the warm, slack body of Bob, with whom I lived in urban squalor in a festering tenement attic in Patton's Lane, former residence of Dundee's reviled yet noble-hearted poet, William Topaz McGonagall. Bob rolled over and muttered some of his usual sleep gibberish. The leopard's going to miss the train, got to find that radish, and so on. Bob, known by some people as Magic Bob, but for reasons which were obscure and not based on any sleight of hand on Bob's part, was in fact an unmagic Essex boy, Ilford born and bred, although when he remembered, he affected a monotonous, vaguely northern accent to give him more credibility with his peers.